So, anyway, I'd like to share a bit today about a subject, interesting subject, about ants. An ant is only 0.004 grams, but believe it or not, he can carry something five times his weight in his mouth. And that's a bit of useless information, unless you'd want to hire that ant to carry your sandwiches around. Anyway, another interesting thing about an ant is that it can drag an object 25 times its own weight. And so I kind of figured out we're a little bit early on that, Scott. It's all right. And I should be able to drag an object about 6,000 pounds. It's just incredible. And if you don't believe that, there is this little video. And this little video is actually an ant that was dragging. I saw this bumblebee moving across our driveway. I couldn't believe it. This bumblebee looked dead. And so I got a little bit closer, and here's this ant actually dragging the bumblebee along the driveway for the longest way, and then he took it to the ant thing. So here's a little video of that. I went back in the house after a few minutes. I came out, and the bumblebee was gone. So I don't know. There was a couple of ants that were there coaching him as he was pulling it, and I think the whole anthill came and got that morsel. But anyway, by now, you probably know what scripture we're going to be talking about. Proverbs 6:6-11. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." And you know, King Solomon was a wise old guy, and he makes 14 references to a sluggard in the scriptures, and each time he's warning us not to fall into the ways of the sluggard. And so as we study this verse today, we're going to see a couple of the negative characters of a sluggard, and also look at the positive attributes of an ant, because we want to become like the ant. So let's just have a time of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, that as we study your word, we just pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. And I personally pray, Lord, that you'll speak to me too, that you will show me any ways that I need to improve, even in myself, Lord, which you know there are many. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we know that condemnation, if there's any condemnation that comes out of this passage today, Lord, I just pray that people realize that condemnation is not from you. It is from our enemy. But conviction comes from you, Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, that if you convict our hearts today, Lord, thank you for that. And we know, though, that with that conviction, you also bring a lot of mercy and a lot of love. It's all wrapped up together. So we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you know our weakness. But you know that through our weakness, you can prove yourself strong. So thank you, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us today in a very special way. Amen. First of all, we'll talk a bit about a sluggard. Sluggard likes to put things off. He likes to procrastinate. And, you know, he says, well, I'll do that later. Or if I just, you know, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I just need a little more rest, maybe a little more slumber. And, you know, second by second and moment by moment, opportunity slips away. Procrastination. I have not yet begun to procrastinate. That's an office worker's poem here that I'd like to share with you. And now this poem is not about me. But I got to admit, some of these times I have actually caught myself doing this. And it's just amazing. And maybe some of you will be able to relate to this too. Procrastinator's poem. It says, I've gone for a drink and sharpened my pencils, searched through my desk for forgotten utensils. I reset my watch, I adjusted my chair, I've loosened my tie and adjusted my hair. I turned on my computer and tested the monitor, and gone for another drink of water, adjusted the calendar and raised the blind, and I've sorted erasers of all different kinds. Now down to work I can finally sit. Whoops! Too late, it's time to quit. Even preparing this message, I was procrastinating at times because I was challenged. I was counting racers, but I have an excuse because we just moved. I got a mess up. My office is a mess. But the sluggard is full of excuses, and he has 1,000 different reasons why he can't start something. And if he does start something, he often doesn't finish it. Proverbs 22:13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, or I'll be murdered in the streets, or whatever. He has all kinds of excuses not to do something or to go somewhere. And his excuses, though, are really plain ridiculous. Anyway, that's some of the negative characteristics of a sluggard. But what can we learn from the ant? Because that's what we want to do. And there's a couple of things. And of course, the obvious thing is the ant has no commander. He has no overseer. He doesn't need to be told to go to work, right? He doesn't need to be prodded. He's self-motivated. He knows what needs to be done, and so he does it. That's one of the lessons. The ant also knows and understands time, right? He makes hay when the sun is shining. He stores up in the summer for the winter. So he understands time. And it's one of the good attributes of an ant. So one lesson that we can learn from him is that we need to work, and we need to work hard. We need to work as unto the Lord. But the lesson goes a lot farther than physical work, because there's a lot of other forms of sluggardry, if you like, or of laziness that I'd like to look at today. And some of these things are not so obvious, and maybe we may need to deal with some of those. I've had to deal with some of those in my own life. So, the first thing is workaholic laziness. Now, that may sound a bit strange to you, because when you think of a workaholic, well, that's somebody that really is working hard, applying themselves. They're working all the time. They're accomplishing things and stuff. And even in this society, I believe a workaholic is sometimes exalted and lifted up, because, he's getting things done. But I need to explain. First of all, the term workaholic doesn't mean someone who is diligent in his or her work or in his or her occupation. Because again, we are to be diligent and work as unto the Lord. So a workaholic is not someone that's working and being diligent, but a workaholic is someone who is so consumed with his work that everything else gets second place. They're neglected. A lot of important things are neglected. God is neglected. Family is neglected. Things like this. So that's what a workaholic is. But a workaholic will use his work to procrastinate. And again, remember the sluggard. The sluggard loves to procrastinate. And so a workaholic will use work to procrastinate to put off important responsibilities, because it's easier. Let's face it. Sometimes if you enjoy your work and enjoy what you're doing, it's easier to continue working than to work on relationships or to do other things that are more important, really. Then there's the spiritual workaholic. And those involved in ministry can get caught up in the Lord's work and continually ministering to the spiritual needs of others. And there's nothing wrong with that. That it's a good thing to do. But I think oftentimes busyness is equated with spirituality. And so again, the busier one seems to be doing spiritual work or church work or whatever, the person may come across as being more spiritual. And you know, that's really not the case. That's really a lie from the enemy. And so a spiritual workaholic can actually, again, neglect more and more important responsibilities, can neglect his Bible studies, can neglect all kinds of things, can neglect the spouse if they're married or family, whatever. So again, there's the spiritual workaholic. And so we really need to get our priorities straight in the area of physical work and in the area of spiritual work. And I've had to do that in my life. I remember, especially before I was a Christian, I grew up on the farm, and man, we used to put in 16-hour days, 7 days a week. And I used to pride myself in that I could get more accomplished on Sunday than any other day of the week. Now, one reason is because I didn't go to church. Another reason is because you don't do business on Sunday, so there's nothing to distract us. And so I used work for many years as an escape, a way to avoid responsibility, right? Always working, but there's other things that are sometimes not so pleasant that we need to do or something, and it's easy to put those things off. And again, even the spiritual work, you know, when Kathy and I were first married, we spent a lot of time, we both worked full time, and I went out, you know, man, we were going out like 6, 7, 10 times a month or more to the prisons and missions, and you know, that was an area that I really needed to work on. And I have worked on that. And so it's something to think about, you know. Again, busyness can look like we're really spiritual. So, workaholic laziness. That's not a pleasant subject. Glad I'm finished with that one now. We'll go on to the next one. Marital laziness. Oh, boy. Skip that one. No, Kathy wants, she can't say anything about this one. I've asked her not to. But those who are married know that marriage takes a lot of hard work, right? And that's a good thing. And communication can be a challenge. And to love one another, especially when you don't feel like it, can even be a bigger challenge. I mean, sometimes we just don't like each other. That's a fact, you know? We still have to love one another. So that's another area that we can become sluggards in, is marriage, in our marital duties or responsibilities. Again, we need to look at those kind of things. Mental laziness. You know, again, sometimes it's just, oh man, it's just so easy to veg out and to just sit back and watch the TV and exercise with your thumb, you know. And when really we need to be, you know, improving ourselves. You know, we all need to improve ourselves. We could read a book on how to communicate, you know, or how to be a better husband or wife or whatever it is. And so again, you know, mental laziness. Nothing wrong sometimes with vegging out and doing nothing. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when it's done all the time, there's a could be an issue. Nutritional laziness. Oh, boy. You know, we could make better choices with the food we eat or the exercise or the way that we look after our bodies. And again, you know, that takes planning. It takes self-discipline. And, you know, it's a lot easier just to grab something, you know, a bag of potato chips or whatever, and carry on. Then there's spiritual laziness. And, you know, the lack of spiritual laziness can be a real problem, especially for the Christian. It takes concentrated work to have regular devotions, to go to Bible studies, to attend church on Sunday, to meditate, to pray, and especially to share with others the love of Christ and what he has done in our lives. Spiritual laziness. You know, that sharing with others about the love of Christ. Again, there's been so many opportunities that I've missed because of spiritual laziness, you know. You just think, oh man, you know, sometimes you just don't even feel like it. You know, let's be honest. But, you know, the word says in 2 Timothy, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience and instruction, you know. And so when the opportunity presents itself or not, right, we're to be ready in season and out of season to share the love of Christ. And again, that can be a challenge at times, you know, because sometimes, you know, many of us are content just to do some of these things when we feel like doing them, right? Or when the opportunity is right. Maybe if we have some spare time, you know, we can do this, we can do that. And so it's easy to put off or to procrastinate. And remember, the sluggard loves to procrastinate. So procrastination can be a very effective tool that Satan can use, especially against the Christian, always wanting to put off and do something else. Procrastination can keep the Christian spiritually weak, and it can keep the unbeliever from accepting Christ. And that can be a serious thing. I want to just share this story. It goes like this. It says, a man dreamt that he saw Satan seated on his throne, and all his evil spirits were gathered round him, waiting for his commands. Satan asked a question. Who will go forth to ruin souls on earth? I will, said one demon. What'll you tell him? Asked Satan. Well, I'll tell him that there is no God, was the answer. That'll not do, said Satan, because men know that there is a God. Again, Satan asked, who will go forth to ruin souls? I will, a second spirit replied. And what will you tell them? Satan asked. Well, I'll tell them that there is a God, but that they're too bad to come to him, he replied. That won't do, said Satan. They have Bibles which tell them about God's forgiving love in Christ. Once more, Satan asked his terrible question, who will go forth to ruin souls on earth? There was a pause. At last, the third spirit said, I will. And what will you tell them? Asked Satan. Well, I'll tell them, he answered slowly, that there is a God. I'll let them hear the gospel as often as they like. I'll tell them that there is no need to hurry, no need to confess Christ before men today. Instead, they can wait until tomorrow or next week or next year. Eat, drink, and be merry, because there's plenty of time tomorrow. There was a murmur of applause. Go forth, said the Prince of Darkness. You will be successful in ruining souls. Amazing. And I believe that Satan has deceived many people through procrastination. And I just really wonder how many souls are in hell as a result of the fact that they intended to get right with God, you know, tomorrow, right? They figured they had lots of time. They kept putting off that decision to confess Christ before men. You know, the book of Hebrews, it asks us, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And it tells us that there is no escape, that there's only judgment for those that do not accept Christ, accept his salvation. You know, again, I was thinking, you know, how many times we as Christians, you know, we put off telling others about Christ. Sometimes I'm just waiting for the right time to tell them, or the time just doesn't seem right, or maybe I'll get a chance tomorrow to tell them about Christ, you know. And often, and that can, again, that can be a way of avoiding, you know, telling what Christ has done to us. And so it's something, again, that we need to be challenged on at times and that we need to work on, just waiting for the right time, you know. And again, in 2 Timothy, it tells us to be ready in season and out of season, you know. And I've often heard people say, you know, people will know me by the way I live. They'll know that I'm a Christian because of the way I live. And yeah, and it's good. It's good to live like a Christian. And people may kind of have an idea that we are Christians by the way we live. But you got to remember, there's a lot of non-Christians that act better than some Christians. So that's really not really an effective way. We need to speak. We need to open our mouth. Jesus says to go tell. And so we need to tell, because just because people see us living the right way, which is good, they still need to hear. And it's so easy to put that off, to procrastinate, you know, out of fear, out of whatever, maybe out of indifference even, you know. So, in conclusion, we need to go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. The ant is determined, He's diligent, he plans ahead, he's hardworking, and he doesn't give up. And so we'd all be wise to observe the ways of the ant in our everyday lives and as we go about. So for the workaholic, there's no excuse for working so hard that we neglect more important responsibilities. And as husbands and wives, there's no excuse for laziness in giving love. And there's no excuse for not learning how to better ourselves. And there's no excuse for not looking after our bodies, which, by the way, is the temple of God. And there's no excuse for not sharing about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So the ant would challenge us today, and God would challenge us. You know, as Christians, we must not be lazy in doing our spiritual exercise. And as sinners, we must not be lazy and procrastinate in confessing Christ before men. There's no room. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And I don't know where you're at spiritually. God knows the heart. Man looks on the outward. And I know a person, people can come to church for years and years, but they keep putting off. They haven't really made that personal, you know, that born-again experience, right? Where they've asked Christ into their hearts, where they've committed their life to him. And so I don't know, you know? And if someone here today has been procrastinating in that area, today would be the day to straighten that out. Come to Jesus. You know, we need to admit that we're sinners. The Bible tells that Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we need to believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Who did he say he is? He says, well, he's the Son of God. He came to this earth as a man. He died, he buried, and he rose again for my sins, for your sins. Praise God for that. And we need to confess him today. Confess in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Savior. So I'm going to leave that with you today. And you know where you're at. And I trust that everyone here in this room is safe. And but I don't know. You know. And so we need to go to God and ask him to search us and to help us to not procrastinate, to not be procrastinators. Amen? Does everybody agree with that? Is that okay? This isn't that great or easy a message, you know. But I just pray that you don't go away from here feeling condemned because of this message. But if you are feeling convicted, that's okay. And remember God's love and God's grace wraps that all up, man, that conviction. And all we need to do is go to him and ask forgiveness. And guess what he does? He forgives us and he takes our sins and he casts them as far away from, you know, from one sea to the next sea, never to remember it again. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Wow, what a blessing to have a Savior like that. So go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise.